Hello, and welcome to this broadcast of Pints and Pairings. I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hop Ed Zed.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, the hungry man from Everybody's Hungry.
And we, just as every other show we've done, and I don't know, we've done 8, 9 shows, want to remind you that the beer that we are drinking is being supplied generously by the Beer Cave located at 231 Village Commons Boulevard. That is in Camarillo, California. It's right off the 101. So easy to get to. You just pull off, load up with some beer, and head on beep, home. Beep. That's all you have to do. We appreciate their support, certainly. And so if you, if you've got a beer need, go in and get your beer there.
Yeah, check them out on Facebook at the Beer Cave and Deli in Camarillo.
It's a whole bunch of really feel-good things. It's shopping local. It's helping the local guy. And then it's so full of American craft beer and especially a California heavy-centered beer market.
And the fact that you can say you shopped at a Beer Cave right. goes a long way with the friends. Today's feature that we're going to be drinking from them is the Stone Smoked Porter.
Yes, this is BJCP category number 22B.
22B.
Other smoked beers. Or not, that is or a list of smoked
not
beers.
Not TB. 22B.
22B. Alaskan smoked porter. Let's see. What do we have? Stone smoked porter. What we've got. There's a Rosh beer. There's Rogue Smoke. There's Oscar Blues Old Chub. There's Left Hand Smoked Jumper. They're all over. And of the subcategories of anything that I'm always the most timid around, it's the smoked category.
And the smoked category has been expanding. So we listed off just now a bunch of commercial porters as examples, and there's some stouts in there too. But I've had some smoked IPAs recently that are really delicious. And the balance or lack of balance, if you will, between the hops and the smoke is really fun to try out and play with. However, as I'm sure a lot of less seasoned beer drinkers can attest to your feeling, smoke can be very intimidating.
Right.
Well, it can be intense.
And I've tried, and it's one of those things that I would love to be a man about. You know, it puts hair on your chest if you can drink a smoky beer. I can't do it. My palate is very, very sensitive to it, and I can only drink the cleanest of Scotch whiskeys. So you're talking Highland varieties. Once you start getting any peat anything, and this is what it comes down to.
I see your lip curling a little bit.
It's like well, because I have an aversion to it. I have a real sensitive palate to that. I wish I had a sensitive palate for other things, but for some reason the smokiness.
Well, these aren't beers that you're going to sit down and do a couple down a couple bottles on your own. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just by default the intensity of flavor is a lot for any one person to handle. But I can understand again the hesitancy. What I like about a lot of smoked beers, depending on the grain bill and the style that you're pairing the smoke with, is it gives for me kind of a salty, bacony, or meaty kind of component. Mm-hmm. You know, you really get in the minerally salty aspects of what you'd get with a great brine like corned beef or a pork or bacon. And I love those things. They just make me want to go out and get a big old pile of sandwich. So
well, and this one has a nice balance of that too. It has a nice meaty flavor, the smokiness, whatever it is, smoke makes gives a bacony meaty flavor. I would love to understand the chemical compounds behind it on why that is, but it is. So when you look at a smoked beer, sometimes the ones that are the most pleasant are have these hints of meat or bacon.
The ones too overpowering.
The ones that go over the top, you start getting Band-Aid flavors, and then that's just...
Yeah, no one likes that. It's awful.
So you have to be careful. And then we talked about, too, like, all the ones that we listed here were a bunch of porters, and just because traditionally a Rosh beer is this darker smoked beer, that's kind of where it lends to it. Plus, you've got these beers that have the stouts or the porters that already have a roasty character in it, so the smoke is a natural fit for it, and you can kind of... bump that up a little bit as well.
Well, especially and with this smoked porter specifically, but with most of those that you're going to find out there, there's a residual kind of dark chocolate cocoa aspect that lingers in the back of the palate and on your tongue that plays nicely with that bacony, meaty, salty hint. You know? And I'm not saying that the beer has a saltiness to it, but it definitely lends your palate, it kind of tricks your palate into feeling and thinking that way, even to the point of salivation, like you'd get with a great salted piece of pork loin or pork belly and bacon, depending on how it's cured. That chocolate with the meaty saltiness is a natural fit anyway. Sweet and salty is just, I mean, they're making candy bars that way nowadays, so well, why not have a beer that kind of plays off of that?
Candy bars, donuts with chocolate and bacon, and they do. They go well together. It's a nice complement between the two. You know, food pairings with this, it's a no-brainer to go with grilled meats. I mean, if you want to start really, really basic with something with these, go a grilled meat, especially if you can. And I'm not talking your charbroil propane. I want coals.
Yeah, it's got to be old school briskets or briquettes.
You know, and if you're gonna put something in it that actually smokes that smokes it, or some chips in your gas grill, then fine. But I'm talking to get some smoke, get some of those free roaming radicals attached to your meat, the stuff that makes it taste really good, that's really, really bad for you. Hey. And you know, and it, because you're gonna find all of these resonating flavors. The thing about the Stone Smoke Porter in particular, and I've had the Alaskan, and I can't remember so much about the body of that beer. And I've had Old Chub too, and that one's a fairly medium bodied beer, is that there's a heavy flavor. I mean, this is a very flavorful beer, but it isn't heavy on the palate. It's not a mouth.
It doesn't have a thick viscosity aspect.
And it's not lingering so much. The smoke flavor isn't lingering as much as the hop or the bitter chocolate malt flavors.
Sure. And I want to go two routes with this because there is that prominent smoky almost, and it, I don't want to scare anyone off, but there's almost a little ashiness to it as well. Like a mushroomy kind of fungusy ashy aspect that sits on the back of the palate. I think it needs a velvety, buttery sweetness. I want to have some kind of dish with cashews, whether it's a ground-up cashew rub on a nice, thick piece of meat, or a spicy and sweet Asian dish that has some cashews in there to balance out some of those smoky components and bring in a sweet aspect. I think that would be a fun way to go.
Maybe peanut, like a peanut sauce?
Yeah, maybe a peanut sauce would go well, because you're going to get, it's almost going to be that Reese's peanut butter cup attempt where you're getting some dark chocolate, roasty, smoky notes, and then you're playing with the peanut butter side. I also want to go into some rich, gamey game bird, kind of fatty, dark meat, you know, duck and squab, where it's got a great roast and there's a lot of smoked sweetness that you get by doing it like a tea duck or a roasted squab or a grouse, and bring that fatty richness in against the smokiness.
I think a fatty richness would be a fantastic pairing too. You're getting, and even if the bird is roasted, say in the oven, whatever, however it's prepared, this beer can give it the impression that it was grilled over an open flame.
And if you put some interesting herbs, you know, or just some basics, some tarragon and some thyme and that on the bird, you know, you're going to get a kind of freshness that comes into play that I think would go well. And then we just came off of Thanksgiving. Why not throw together some yams or a great sweet potato casserole with some toasted pecans and marshmallow on top?
Yeah. Why not? Why not do that? Well, I was trying to think of a vegetarian option, you know, because this is focused heavily on meat, in which we are both certainly meatitarians.
Sure.
But I'm married to a vegetarian, and so, you know, while I like my meat just as much as anyone else, so to speak.
I hope Genevieve's not listening live.
I probably 80% of my diet is vegetarian, and which is, you know, I'm perfectly happy. I'm getting the protein I need from other places. But, you know, as we were talking about possibly a peanut sauce or you were saying a cashew sauce, any of those with some tofu or...
Oh, a tofu would be interesting. It doesn't have a lot of flavor on its own, but when you put in some great ingredients side by side.
Or, and then when you're talking Asian, I was just thinking noodles as well. So whether you go full fat, kind of unhealthy vegetarian with a fried noodle, you know, tossed and fried noodle.
You could do a little sesame oil with this.
Sesame oil, right? And, you know, toss it, some pepper as well. You know, those are some things. And then throw in those cashews at the end. Those would be some really nice things as well.
We're in a great season for squash and gourds right now, too, though. Why, you could do a real simple roast with some butter, maybe a pinch of cinnamon, a little bit. I did butternut squash in the oven the other day with salt and pepper and coconut oil, which was a really interesting flavor pairing. And you could do almost a ratatouille kind of dish, but with winter vegetables and winter squash.
Well, and then I was just thinking, too, that once the noodles, the cashews, and then just at the very end, as you're getting ready to serve it too, toss in a handful of a bunch of spinach. So we're talking of a minerality that's in this meaty kind of mineral flavor, matching it with that kind of spinach minerality too. And so if that's even a word, I don't know, but you understand that iron rich kind of flavor that you get out of.
I think it's a great track to go down, especially because what's nice about spinach is one, it has a little bit, like you said, that minerality, the little bit of bitterness too that comes out of the leaf. You throw it on a hot dish and it'll wilt on its own. You don't have to worry about a lot of preparation, and those flavors will start to meld a little bit in the bowl right there in front of the guest.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and you want to add that right at the very end. You were right before I came back to that. You had said something about
the winter squash and
the winter squash and gourds. So acorn squash, you know, doing a stuffed squash with that as well, whether it's a stuffing, you know, a bread stuffing. But
and if you want to get crazy, you could do a spaghetti squash and simulate yourself a pasta dish, you know, especially because gluten free is a big thing right now. But that vegetal, there's a meatiness without the flavor of meat. There's a meatiness and quality and consistency to a good squash and gourd as well that could stand up to the beer on its own.
Well, I roasted an acorn squash, and then whatever the green ones are that have kind of the brown warts on the
kabocha.
What's that?
Is that the kabocha squash?
I don't, you know, they're about yay big and about this big, but roasted, you know, I roasted it at 350 for, I don't know, it was about an hour, and you could poke the fork through the skin. I mean, these things were done, but the sugars had caramelized inside a little bit, and these were some of the sweetest squash that I had had in a really, really long time too. And so when we were talking about a dessert pairing just a little bit ago with this too, this beer would be a nice contrast to that, where you're eating this maybe as your entree, but it's a sweet enough to be a dessert. And then you have the sharp smoky flavors of this beer that would help cleanse the palate too and be a welcome reprieve from the overload of sweet that you're having, especially if you put marshmallows on top of it.
And I think all the pairings we've talked about so far are going to be pretty rich, actually. They're going to be, there's a certain level of heaviness to them. If you remember way back when we had your beer launch party, there's a component that we're missing that is awesome with this, and people probably wouldn't think of it, and that's that zesty citrus punch, acidic aspect that'll slice right through this smoky porter. But in a fun way, you get those cookies that we've referenced them a few times throughout the series. Those damn limoncello lavender cookies from Sunflowers on the Square. But it was awesome because on top was that candied lemon zest, and you get that sweet sugary icing that she put down. That acidic, almost sour component really brought that smoke component. into a friendly place. You didn't feel like you were getting overwhelmed with that heavy smoke. It was like, oh, this is kind of vibrant now. It's almost refreshing.
Right. Yeah. When you said that, it brought up a bunch of other ones, and there's just, we could go, I think, again, like with so many of the beers where we come into this and thinking, this is going to be kind of a one-sided track with this. Try this, and then that's about it. We end up going, and there's just so many things that once you start considering the possibilities, it's way too many to even name. And so you just about caught me on one of those where you finish it and I'm just going, and there's an awkward silence. But I understood what was happening, that there was down the citrus route and all of these other things that we could have gone for a long, long time on that. We won't go ad nauseum, just because it gives you something to try at home.
And that's what we forget to push that, but we are always looking for feedback too. So go to hopheadsaid.com/pints/pairings.
Right. Just click the button at the top.
Click the button. Leave some feedback. Give us your pairings. Give us your suggestions and feedback from what we've tried to produce. And if you think your dish is better, or you tried the dish that we suggested and it came out awesome, let us know.
Right. And if it didn't come out awesome, don't let us know. Just keep it quiet. Okay. So this has been BJCP category, subcategory 22B, other smoked beers. And we've just been enjoying, and this may be the first time that I've actually enjoyed Stone Smoke Porter. And maybe my palate is changing. I mean, that happens every once in a while.
It does evolve.
It evolves. And there are certainly things that I eat and drink now that I wouldn't have 10 or 15 years ago. And so maybe I'm just coming into it. But this has been a really pleasant experience.
But you also like to, in a positive way, you fall into the power of suggestion, because you knew for this show you're going to have to keep an open mind and you have to try to taste it and think through it. And I think if you're more open to the beer before it even gets poured, then it's probably going to taste a little better.
Well, and that's one of the things that I love about the show too, is that we're not rating the beers. I'm not rating whether or not I like it. I'm trying to dissect these flavors and find something that will make this beer better or help make another dish accentuate, and complement. And so that's when you look at it, when you come at it from that angle, it's hard not to have some sort, be more open about what you're tasting.
And if you're in a listening area that can't get Stone Smoke Porter and you want some, reach out to us and we might be able to make that happen for you. There's always an opportunity for a little exchange.
Beer trades, that's true. All right, let's call it quits on this one, and we'll come back a little bit with another beer, something down the road.
Something a little tasty.
Something tasty, definitely.
We know that we're going to finish with the super tasty Six Geese Lang. So that means next in the lineup is going to be Rogue's Juniper Pale Ale.
Juniper. So this will be one of the vegetable herbed beers.
vegetable
herbed.
That's a fun word.
That is. All right. So thanks for listening to this broadcast of Pints and Pairings. I am Curtis Taylor, also known as Hop It Said.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, the hungry man from Everybody's Hungry. We want to remind you to eat, drink, and be happy.
We'll catch you at the next pour.
Cheers.